This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
As consistently as possible with minimal disruption. Again, starting December 1st, Alternative Radio moves from Wednesdays at 1 to Thursdays at 1 p.m. and Exploration moves a day forward to Wednesdays at 1. Stay tuned to both KPFT favorites, and thanks for listening to commercial-free, listener-sponsored Pacifica Radio, 90.1 KPFT, Houston.
Time of year to plant fruit trees in our area, and you can pick out one just right for your yard at the Urban Harvest Annual Fruit Tree Sale. The sale is located at the Rice University Football Stadium Concourse on Greenbrier between Rice and University Boulevard. There will be a large selection of citrus trees, peaches, plums, apples, pears, figs, pomegranates, pecans, grapes, blackberries, blueberries, persimmons, starfruit, guava, dragon fruit, avocados, olives, and more. The sale will be held Saturday, January 17th from 9 a.m. until 2 p.m. Two pre-sale classes will be held at the Urban Harvest offices on Saturday, January 10th and Tuesday, January 13th. For more information and directions to the sale and classes, check the Urban Harvest website at www.urbanharvest.org.
At 90.1 FM, this is KPFT in Houston. And now, Houston's only primetime radio program dedicated to news and concerns of the lesbi, gay, and transgender identity. This is Queer Voices.
Good evening, this is Jack Polinsky.
And Jennifer Renee.
And Brian Levinka.
And Glenn Holt. And this evening on tonight's program, it's J.D. Doyle's Queer Music Heritage, and the subject this evening is going to be lesbians on cassette, as opposed to lesbians on wax cylinders or lesbians on CDs. And by the way, that even includes if the song has been re-released on a CD, it's out. It's just cassettes only. And so that's going to be something interesting to listen for. But first, it is World AIDS Day next week, actually, but we're going to talk a little bit about it here this evening.
Well, that's right. This week is, of course, Thanksgiving, but December 1st is the 20th anniversary of World AIDS Day. It started in 1988, and there are a whole week-long series of events. And, in fact, there is a committee in Houston, the World AIDS Day Committee. Joining us tonight are Tim Martinez. Say hello.
Hello.
And Jennifer Ludlum.
Hi.
Hi. Well, of course, we have Brian Levinka and Jennifer Poole in the studio.
Oh, thank you.
And we are here to talk about World AIDS Day. And why 20 years later, are we still talking about World AIDS Day? I mean, what's the importance? Why should we be out there?
Because there still isn't a cure.
Exactly.
And infection rates are still going up. I think there's a whole new generation of people that think, oh, there's a pill for it, or I can take pills and everything will be fine, and that's not the case.
Exactly. So there's a couple of events, but I wanted to focus on a major event on December 1st, which is a candlelight vigil.
Yes, there's a candlelight vigil at Tranquility Park in downtown Houston, and it starts at 5:30 and it goes until 7. And the mayor will be speaking, and Adrian Garcia will also be speaking, and then we'll have a couple of speakers that are affected or infected with the HIV virus.
And also our wonderful gay men's chorus will be singing. So it gives us a chance as a city to come together in front of City Hall at Tranquility Park. Listen to the mayor and kind of remember with candlelights this important day.
Has it grown in year after year as people have become so more complacent about AIDS because they think there's a cure, or they think there's a way around it, or the most insidious part is, I can't get that. Yeah. Has it dropped off the interest? I know there seems to apparently been this sort of change in attitude. Well, it's not that important and it's not going to be me, which reminds me a great deal of the 80s.
Well, what happened was last year, Jane Weiner with Hope Stone decided that she wanted to bring awareness to the city of Houston, because she had lived in New York, had some friends who had died of AIDS. And when she got to Houston, she said, you know, where are the red ribbons? Where's the awareness? And so last year she decided to get a group together, which is how World AIDS Day Houston was formed. And the point was to put World AIDS Day back on the map. So based on what happened last year, a core group of us kept the momentum rolling and continued to work with groups in the community, at least to publicize the events that are happening as part of the awareness and education. And Brian actually created a website, worldaidsdayhouston.org, that it's a free service to publicize the events.
And
let's give the website.
Website, and also where they can go get the information. And let's talk about some of the events other than the one you've discussed.
There's also going to be free HIV testing at Legacy Community Health Services at 215 Westheimer on Monday, December 1st. And we'll be testing from 10 a.m. to 6:30 p.m. And then also on December the 6th, which is a Saturday after World AIDS Day, there'll be free HIV testing from 10 to 4 at the clinic as well.
And then also Montrose Counseling Center is doing an ongoing HIV around the world display in their lobby on the second floor. There's a church service on November 30th at Bethel Church, and then there's a massive remembrance and healing that the Archdiocese is putting on.
Now, the exact day of World AIDS Day is what?
December 1st.
December, that's the next Monday, the night of our program. Okay. Are we going with the ribbons, and where can you get them? And that's our thing. If there's people out there right now who say, oh, man, I need to do something, even as small as wearing the red ribbon, where do we get one?
I have a handful.
Well, come on down right now.
We're giving them away at Legacy, and then several of the other community
anytime
organizations.
Anytime, we can just go down
on
there
Monday,
tomorrow?
On Monday. I can put some down at the front desk tomorrow.
Well, sure. if we know, because, you know, I mean, just wearing it one day, the awareness needs, they need to be wearing it all week or
right.
for a few days beforehand. And this is Thanksgiving coming up on Thursday. You know, that would be, you know, wearing it then would seem a very appropriate time to be doing it.
And actually, at first, we were looking at the calendar and thinking, oh, my gosh, you know, December 1st is the Monday after Thanksgiving. It kind of was going to constrict us in what we could do, but then we looked at it as an opportunity to schedule things throughout the week. Rather than just make it World AIDS Day, it's turned into World AIDS Week in
right.
Houston, at least.
That's no problem with mine.
Right. Yeah. And then actually on December 6th, at the Hobby Center, there will be the Illuminations Project, which will be a performance event consisting of performers from throughout Houston, different groups.
Mm-hmm. We're going to have them on next week to discuss all the different performances. But today we're focusing on everything World AIDS Day, actual day of, and kind of before. So to get people ready and people aware of the different events of actual World AIDS Day.
Is there anything going on this weekend?
On Sunday, there is at the BRB, there's a lighting of the tree event, and...
Uh-oh, that's not on the website.
It's not?
No, I don't have that on the website.
You can now put it on the website.
I'll do that tonight. I'm looking at the website.
So it's the tree lighting?
Yes, it is.
What time is that?
I believe it starts at 6 or 7. Sure.
Come early and stay late.
I'm sure I have emails. I'll add it to the website tonight. And the website is designed to be your one-stop shop for all events and kind of, you know, I know about World AIDS Day, but, you know, how can I get involved? What events are available? So the website is worldaidsdayhouston.org.
Yes.
And so, okay, that's Sunday. All right, now what's going on Monday again?
Monday is, there's actually an event at LBJ Hospital. It starts at 11 a.m., and there's going to be a presentation, and there are booths set up with various community-based organizations that help with prevention and education, as well as treatment of HIV. So you can get lots of education and information there. And that goes until 3 p.m.,
And what are some of the contributing organizations? Do you happen to know?
I know Legacy will be there.
Sorry, I didn't mean to put you on the spot.
Well, there are legacy representatives, so of course they're very focused
sorry.
On legacy. There is an event, a luncheon on World AIDS Day, the World AIDS Day Luncheon, which is a very high-end social event. It's going to be at the Corinthian downtown.
And that one benefits AIDS Foundation Houston.
AIDS Foundation Houston, a very worthy charity.
So how do you get involved in that?
This is a fundraiser, so you go and you pay for a ticket and they feed you nights.
Are we interviewing you?
Brian has also been very instrumental in the committee.
It's hard to sit here and not interview myself.
Well, and then even SNAP and Pet Patrol are doing something on World AIDS Day. Outside of the spay-neuter assistance program clinic on Durham, Pet Patrol is going to be set up outside providing information about the services that they provide to people with HIV.
Oh,
so,
wonderful.
Yeah,
that's
so
great.
Honestly, there's a gamut of activities.
It's a community event that goes far beyond just the AIDS and remembering and bringing the focus in on AIDS and the fact that it's still here. And then our community, as well as many other communities, are suffering with it. And I understand from the statistics I've read that the black community is being devastated. A generation of black kids are being devastated by this disease through ignorance, if I understand right.
Yeah, the African-American population is the fastest growing as far as new cases of HIV. And I also wanted to talk a little bit about the youth that you brought up earlier and that perception that HIV is no longer that big of a deal, that, you know, you just take a couple of pills and you'll be fine. We found that there's been an increase in the 18 to 24-year-olds, the incidences of HIV in that population. And I think that really is a big misperception going on amongst that population.
More men than women?
Yes. Yeah.
More
definitely.
Men than women?
Definitely.
Yes. Really?
I think, you know, it's apathy in the community, and it's the younger generation not being exposed to the death from HIV/AIDS. And we must remember, as a community, that it is a virus, and it will mutate eventually.
Yeah, over 50% of the cases of HIV are in men that have sex with men.
So our job is to get the word out, to remind people that, you know, World AIDS Day has been here for 20 years, and there's a reason for that.
I think I would also like to mention that one of the other problems is that there are a lot of people that don't know their status. And that's another reason that testing is so vitally important. And right now the CDC is reporting that they think 1 in 5 HIV-positive people don't know their status. And so that's a huge reason for it being transmitted.
That's incredibly scary. That there's that many in the population. Now, is this the general population, or do they specifically give demographics?
That's the general population. Yeah.
Watch out when you have sex.
In Houston...
Whoever it is, because there's a lot of it can be contracted through heterosexual sex, too.
Definitely.
Even though we're all gay here. But anyway, that's one thing to remember. Maybe not all of us. We have a straight person here.
We have a token tonight.
That's right. Well, she's an ally and friend.
Yes.
A very knowledgeable one.
Well, still. But that's important to know, that heterosexual sex, that it's there, too. There's still all of the other things. There's a lot of myths that are so untrue, but there is that knowledge that it's there, it's dangerous, and it mutates, and you have to be careful, cautious. And
you said you had some statistics on Houston.
Yeah, I do. I said 1 in 5 in the United States is unknown. And here in Houston, they're estimating that 1 in 17 men that have sex with men is infected with HIV here just in the city of Houston. So that's pretty scary when you go into a bar and you look in the crowded room and 1 in 17.
Do they even know?
They don't know for sure.
They don't know.
They do know reported cases is 1 in 23.
Okay.
So, but it's estimated.
Those still scary statistics.
Yeah.
You know, I get better odds in Vegas than that.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. No, but I mean, it is a lottery with your life. You're playing...
Right.
You know, you're gambling with your life if you don't know your own status and you don't know the status of a partner.
Right.
Right. So, you know, it's important to anyone, if you care about someone, that even the slightest bit, to let them know.
Or even if you care about yourself, just having that discussion prior to having sex is very important.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, caution is the key word. And it is so important that people know this, especially our young people. Mm-hmm. So, you were about to say something?
I forgot what I was about to say, believe it or not.
Well, let's talk to our listeners. If there's one thing you do this World AIDS Day, it's go get tested. If you don't know,
go get tested.
I mean, just bite the bullet and go get tested. And there's plenty of opportunity at Legacy and on the website, different places that are offering free HIV testing and even the rapid test.
Right.
Yes, it's free. The rapid test only takes 20 minutes for the actual test. It'll take you a little bit longer once you get there, so expect to spend 30 to 40 minutes, depending on if there's a long line or not. But we have plenty of testers, and please do come get tested.
And I would say another thing to do on World AIDS Day or even during that week is there's a generation of us that have lost friends.
Mm-hmm. There's a whole segment of the population that's gone.
Right. And just take a moment to remember those friends that we've lost, you know.
Absolutely.
And too, we're still losing.
Right.
And that's the only thing that's happened, we've learned to, through medical science and research, to extend life and to make what life there is a little bit, the quality of a little bit better. But still, the ultimate end is a shortened lifespan.
Right.
Right.
And I would encourage anyone listening, if you're on Facebook, to join our Facebook group.
That's the new social, like, community activism
thing. Right, right. We can keep you updated with our activities. If you're not inclined to go to the website, we can send out notices about the events coming up the week of December 1st.
Absolutely. So let's refresh on or remind our listeners about the website, which is?
WorldAIDSDayHouston.org.
And the major events, I guess.
The candlelight vigil on December 1st, the testing that's available on the 1st and various days throughout the week. There's the...
At Legacy.
The World AIDS Day luncheon on December 1st. The information from Pet Patrol at the SNAP clinic. What else am I forgetting?
Illuminations Project on that Saturday, December 6th.
Right. We're gonna cover that all next week.
Okay.
But we can also announce it now, though.
Well, then
go ahead.
That's what we're doing.
Please.
So go ahead.
Between Tuesday or Monday, what else is going on? You said there's sort of a lot of different events during the week.
There's other testing locations that you can go to that the City of Houston and other community-based organizations have volunteered at some multi-service centers throughout the city to offer free testing. So if you go to that website, there's a list of all the different places that you can go to get tested.
What about any other events other than the testing? Is there anything else during the week?
So.
There's other than get your red ribbon and wear it all week long.
Definitely.
Yeah. Wear it as long as it lasts.
Right.
You know,
it is a sticky one, so.
Oh, it's a sticky one? You didn't pin? Oh, good. That's much better. That's much better than the pin.
Is so hard to do.
I had some accidents. Well, it'd be very painful.
And if you wear satin, it leaves a mark.
Oh, yes.
A little pucker.
Or silk.
Or silk.
Oh, raw silk. And never mind. Anyway. The one thing we want to really drive home with everybody that's listening is that, you know, this is an event that's 20 years old, like you said, but it's to remember that AIDS is still here.
Yeah.
And it's still dangerous within all the communities. It has spread itself over the, you know, since, you know, patient one.
Right.
You know, that it's, what, 1978?
I think
it was David patient one, 1978.
Right.
That's the urban myth anyway. that it spread throughout the population through various ways and all.
Definitely. I think the CDC is estimating that there are just over a million people with HIV in the United States.
Well, I just want to say that I'm very proud of our community. here in Houston that have come together in different organizations to form this kind of World AIDS Day committee, and how they put on different events, and especially of the city of Houston, mm-hmm. and come together and put this big citywide candlelight vigil. I think I'm very excited about going to that and seeing and getting people there. So join us next Monday, 5:30 to 7
at Tranquility Park.
Tranquility Park, downtown Houston, as we remember and those who have passed from HIV/AIDS.
And thank you both for being here with us.
You're
Jennifer.
Yeah. Jennifer Ladlam.
And Jennifer, what is your role at Legacy?
I'm the Director of Health Promotions.
Okay.
Right, thank you.
And people know me as Timmy. Martinez.
Hi, Timmy.
And there's another name, but we won't talk about that.
And Timmy, what do you do?
No.
I mean, what is your...
Oh, that was a look.
Hey, it happens.
I volunteer on the World AIDS Day Committee.
Okay. Thank you both for being
here. You're a board member for Legacy.
I'm a board member for Legacy also.
All right. Thank you both for being here. This is Queer Voices.
Thank you.
Got helicopters above, right? I think it's news helicopter, not police helicopters. Just a sea of people, all different ages, races, sexualities.
This was an army of lovers. Nothing huge, but just a sense of purpose, a sense of why we're here.
I'm here to protect my family. I have 3 children and a husband. Been together 12 years, and we just want what everybody else wants.
They pissed off the wrong group of people. Yeah. Now let's go get out.
Welcome to This Way Out, the International Gay and Lesbian Radio Magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. Nepal's top court rules for sexual minority rights, a Caribbean AIDS confab calls sex bans unsafe, and hundreds of rallies across the U.S. demand marriage equality. Those stories and more this week because you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm John Torres.
And I'm Michael LeBeau.
With News Wrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending November 22, 2008. Nepal's highest court this week ordered the government to repeal all laws that discriminate against sexual minorities and to enact legislation guaranteeing their full rights, including legal recognition of same-gender couples. The court said that the government should form a 7-member committee to study same-gender unions in other countries and recommend a similar law for Nepal. The Maoist-led government took power with the visible participation of LGBT people following the overthrow of an oppressive king in the tiny Himalayan country. The judges criticized the government for dragging its feet on reforms since their summary ruling last December, which became official with this week's publication. Sunil Pant, the founder of the LGBT rights group Blue Diamond Society and the country's only openly gay member of parliament, celebrated the ruling, telling reporters that, "My eyes were filled with tears when I read the Supreme Court's landmark decision. LGBT people in Nepal have until recently been routinely arrested, held without hearings, and beaten and tortured by prison guards." Blue Diamond also said, however, that HIV prevention workers are still regularly harassed by police. The government has yet to respond to the ruling.
Several government officials at the recent annual meeting of the Pan-Caribbean Partnership Against HIV/AIDS called for the repeal of laws that criminalize gay sex in order to slow the spread of the virus, according to a report by the Caribbean Media Corporation. Dr. Peter Figueroa, head of the Jamaican Ministry of Health's AIDS program, said that when people see themselves as excluded or discriminated against and stigmatized, it promotes risky behavior. But his country has been identified by global human rights groups as one of the most LGBT oppressive in the world. The health minister of the island nation of Dominica, John Fabian, said about men who have sex with men that we can't bow our heads in the sand and say it does not happen. According to Amnesty International, 11 Caribbean area nations continue to ban gay sex. Antigua and Barbuda, Barbados, Belize, Dominica, Grenada, Guyana, Jamaica, St. Kitts and Nevis, St. Lucia, St. Vincent and the Grenadines, and Trinidad and Tobago.
Thousands of people around the world observed the 10th annual Transgender Day of Remembrance on or close to November 20th. Candlelight vigils and other memorial events mourn the deaths of people who've been murdered, often brutally, because of their gender identity or expression. The annual event began on November 20th, 1998, to honor Rita Hester, who was murdered in her Boston apartment. About 250 people marched through the streets to protest her killing. Transgender Day of Remembrance observances were announced this year in Austria, Australia, Canada, England, France, Germany, Italy, the Netherlands, New Zealand, Scotland, Sweden, Turkey, and the U.S.
In other news, 104 retired U.S. generals and admirals, including former Joint Chiefs Chairman John Shalikashvili, are calling for an end to Don't Ask, Don't Tell, the policy banning military service by open gays and lesbians. Only 28 former admirals and generals signed on to a similar statement last year. As is the case with Great Britain, Israel, and other nations that allow gays and lesbians to serve openly, the officers wrote, our service members are professionals who are able to work together effectively despite differences in race, gender, religion, and sexuality. Available data suggests that there are about 1 million gay and lesbian veterans in the United States, and that about 65,000 lesbians and gay men currently serve in the military. More than 12,000 enlisted personnel were discharged between 1994 and 2007 for violating Don't Ask, Don't Tell, according to the Service Members Legal Defense Network, a lesbi-gay military advocacy group. The number of discharges peaked in 2001, but began dropping off sharply after the September 11th attacks. President-elect Barack Obama, who's said he supports repeal, will likely move cautiously on the matter, especially in light of more pressing economic issues. He'll need to work with Congress, and surely remembers Bill Clinton's bungled effort to repeal the then-outright ban on lesbi-gay military service at the beginning of his presidency in 1992. That led to the so-called compromise, Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy, which allows service only by gays and lesbians who stay in the closet.
But the government of South Korea has asked its constitutional court to confirm the ban on gay men serving in that country's armed forces. A military court requested a review of the constitutionality of the ban in August. A defense ministry spokesman told Agence France-Presse that the military has to maintain good combat capability. It works for the public interest rather than personal happiness. All young men in South Korea are required to serve in the military or in the riot police for up to 2 years and have to take a test at the time of enlistment that includes various questions about sexual orientation. Those identified as having abnormal sexual identities are rejected. There's no mention of homosexuality in the South Korean Constitution or Civil Penal Code. Discrimination against sexual minorities is widespread in the country, however, supported by its conservative Confucian traditions and the growing influence of the Roman Catholic Church.
California's Supreme Court agreed this week to hear the legal challenges to Proposition 8, approved by 52% of the state's voters on November 4th. The constitutional amendment overturned the same court's May marriage equality ruling and revoked the right of same-gender couples to marry. But the justices denied the request by LGBT advocates that Proposition 8 not be enforced until they rule on its constitutionality. Some 18,000 couples who wed in the state between mid-June, when the court ruling took effect, and November 4th, when the ballot measure passed, will also remain in legal limbo until the court rules on the validity of their marriages, as well as on the constitutionality of Proposition 8 itself. The lawsuits against the measure argue that eliminating the established rights of a minority group violates the state constitution's equal protection provisions. They also say that such a significant constitutional change requires a two-thirds vote by the legislature before it can even go to the voters. Prop 8 supporters say that restricting marriage in the state to one man and one woman was not the sweeping constitutional revision that opponents say it was. Court spokeswoman Lynn Holton told reporters that oral arguments will probably not be scheduled until March at the earliest.
Ron Prentice, chairman of the Yes on 8 campaign, said this week that his group is already gearing up to fight a ballot measure that LGBT rights groups promised to get on the 2010 California ballot to reinstate marriage equality if the state high court upholds the constitutionality of Proposition 8.
In Florida, voters also approved Amendment 2 on November 4th. The language of that constitutional amendment appeared to ban not only same-gender marriage, but domestic partnerships as well. That could affect not only gay and lesbian couples, but thousands of cohabiting non-gay couples who choose not to marry but have been given domestic partner benefits in some locales. LGBT activists are working on defending an anticipated legal challenge to those benefits with a new website, www.undo2.org.
And finally, gays and lesbians have won a small victory in the so-called culture war. Popular heterosexual matchmaking website eHarmony.com, which claims to match compatible singles through a comprehensive set of psychological measurements, will have a companion site for gays and lesbians next year. Its spokesman and founder, evangelical Christian psychologist Neil Clark Warren, once worked with the notoriously anti-gay Focus on the Family. His site first targeted Christian singles, but soon expanded its outreach to a more secular audience. The move to open eHarmony services to gays and lesbians came in the settlement this week of a discrimination lawsuit filed in New Jersey. The Division on Civil Rights of the State Attorney General's Office determined last year that eHarmony was violating New Jersey's anti-bias laws, concluding that gay man Eric McKinley's lawsuit had merit and could proceed. eHarmony attorney Theodore Olson said in a statement that, "We ultimately decided it was best to settle this case with the Attorney General, since litigation outcomes can be unpredictable." Under the settlement, eHarmony will start a new service by March 31st called Compatible Partners for men seeking matches with men and women with women. A company statement said that it also agrees to ensure that same-sex users are matched via the same or equivalent technology as that used for heterosexual match seekers. Tony Perkins, president of the right-wing Family Research Council, told the Baptist Press that the surest way to lose the culture war is refusing to fight. He called eHarmony's settlement a shocking concession that was distressing and damaging and sending tremors through the faith community. The settlement also requires the company to provide a free one-year membership to McKinley, pay him $5,000, and pay the New Jersey Division on Civil Rights $50,000 to cover investigation-related administrative costs. eHarmony operates not only in the U.S., but also in Australia, Britain, and Canada.
That's News Wrap for the week ending November 22nd, 2008. Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap was written by Greg Gordon and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles. For This Way Out, I'm John Torres.
And I'm Michael LeBeau.
Extra, extra, read all about it.
A new This Way Out update has been posted on our website. For recent programming information and behind-the-scenes news about your favorite international LGBT radio show, log on to www.thiswayout.org.
An unprecedented online organizing campaign brought hundreds of thousands of gays, lesbians, and their supporters out into the streets on November 15th to protest the passage of California's Proposition 8 and other same-gender marriage bans. The total number of demonstrators, rallied by a new breed of net-savvy younger activists, may have topped a million in up to 300 different cities all over the United States. Actions were reportedly also held at U.S. embassies in several other countries. The largest turnout may have been in San Diego, with an estimated 25,000 people filling the streets. Many thousands also demonstrated in Sacramento and several other California communities. In Atlanta, Honolulu, Phoenix, Little Rock, Seattle, Boston, Chicago, and Philadelphia, two smaller towns like Fargo, North Dakota, Macon, Georgia, and Pocatello, Idaho, they gathered. Crowds swept across the states of Kansas, Florida, New York, Illinois, Ohio, Tennessee, Texas, and Washington. There were far too many locations to name. This Way Out correspondent Heather Kitching asked activists to phone into her Queer FM program on CITR in Vancouver with reports about demonstrations in their cities.
My name is Robin Tyler. I'm half of the original plaintiffs that filed the same-sex marriage suit. My wife is Diane Olson. We were married on June 16th in Los Angeles, and I'm standing here on the edge of thousands and thousands of people that are marching by me. There's about 10 to 15,000 people. There were speeches. The mayor was here. This is just in Los Angeles alone. A lot of speakers, a lot of signs. Let's see. It says, I pay full taxes. I want full rights. equality now, marriage rights now. We're a civil rights movement. Can you start hearing me? I'm coming near the crowd. Gay, straight, black, white, marriage is a civil right. Just thousands of people are calling past me.
Equal rights.
When do we want it?
Now.
What do we want?
Equal rights.
When do we want it?
Now.
Hi, this is Rick Turco from Napa Valley. We had about 250 people here in downtown Napa at the City Hall. This was, like, just an amazing experience. I'd say lots of kids down here with their families. I can't even begin to say how gratified I was. It was very, very frustrating on Election Day when, you know, one of the greatest things, Barack Obama got elected president and then Proposition 8 passed. I heard one of the speakers today talk about the fact that this completely renewed kind of our resolve.
Hey, it's Lisa Gadulda calling in from San Francisco, standing in front of San Francisco City Hall amidst thousands and thousands of people protesting the passage of Proposition 8. People have been protesting on and off all week. We've got helicopters above. It feels like a war zone here, but I think it's news helicopter, not police helicopters. People have signs ranging from no on hate, with H or H, to a straight woman saying I'm not going to get married until everyone can. California Nurses Association, nurses say yes to love. Just a sea of people, all different ages, races, sexualities.
My name is Stephen Baudouin. I'm the staff writer for Just Out News magazine in Portland, Oregon. We're Oregon's twice-monthly LGBT news and entertainment publication. I'm down here in Portland, Oregon, Portland State University, on the South Park blocks. We're at a rally in the center of the city, right next to the farmers market, actually, today. And it's just before noon. We've got a pretty good-sized crowd. I'd say about 500-700 people or so here on the park blocks. It's a pretty diverse crowd here. You see, I'm seeing some of Portland's, you know, top LGBT and allied leaders, but I'm also seeing a good amount of heterosexual couples and peace-like parents and allies and all that sort of thing. You're seeing, you know, folks in wheelchairs. You're seeing folks of different colors. It's a pretty diverse crowd, I'd have to say. You can probably hear them chanting behind me right now. The signs are all over the map. I mean, you see, you know, of course, in the States, you're seeing a few signs today that say, yes, we can, which, of course, is a nod to Barack Obama's recent win here. You see, there's a particularly cool sign that says, stop using my God to promote your hate, and it's got a rainbow crucifix. We the people, that means all of us. My family loves your family. Are we there yet? Those are some of the signs you're seeing. They set up a little stage here on the park blocks, and you've got a couple community leaders that are just speaking into a bullhorn, telling their stories, getting the crowd riled up. There's been some chanting. I haven't seen any sort of dissenting voices yet. I haven't seen any of sort of the haters aren't out here today, to my knowledge. All the people that I'm seeing here are here to support marriage equality today.
What do we want?
Equal rights.
What do we want?
Now.
What do we want?
Equal rights.
What do we want?
Hey, this is Rick Garcia of Equality Illinois. I'm in Springfield, Illinois, in front of the state capitol and our Supreme Court building. And there are, oh, about 150 people already here, which is quite remarkable for the center of Illinois on such a cold, cold November day. There are a lot of people here, rainbow flags, an assortment of signs. They're standing on the steps of our Supreme Court. Then also, people are driving by and honking horns. We have mixed couple families with their kids here, and every age range you could possibly think of. So it's quite amazing. and the crowd is chanting, and the response from the people passing by is really quite good. Only two people have flipped us off so far.
This is Charlie Naylor, and I'm arriving back from the rally in Lake Worth, Florida. Lake Worth is just south of West Palm Beach. This was an army of lovers. It was magnificent, really fun. My favorite part had a group of about a half dozen Jewish grandmothers singing parody lyrics to songs like Take Me Out to the Ball Game and Love and Marriage, all with a gay marriage theme to them. It was very peaceful. There were no counter-demonstrators. People would pass by and honk their horns, and the people in the demonstration would cheer as the horns would honk. It was fun. For lack of a better word, it was wholesome. It was good, clean fun. People were enjoying themselves. And as I said earlier, this was an army of lovers, and a beautiful thing to see. Again, about 200 people, nothing huge, but just a sense of purpose, a sense of why we're here. It was lovely.
Popular stand-up comic and actress Wanda Sykes added star power to the protest in Las Vegas. The co-star of TV's The New Adventures of Old Christine, like so many others, had mixed feelings of joy at the election of Barack Obama and sadness over the passage of marriage bans in three states on November 4th. Sykes told the crowd that she's been out to most everyone who knows her personally and that she got married on October 25th. But she said the votes against marriage equality compelled her to speak publicly for the first time.
Here, right, demanding something that we automatically should have as citizens of this country. Yeah. They pissed off the wrong group of people. Yeah. They have galvanized the community. We are so together now, and we all want the same thing, and we are not going to settle for less. Yeah. Instead of having gay marriage in California? No, we're going to get it across the country. When my wife and I leave California, I want to have my marriage also recognized in Nevada and Arizona, all the way to New York. But I am very proud. I am proud to be a woman. I'm proud to be a black woman. I'm proud to be gay.
Up to 15,000 people jammed the streets of downtown Los Angeles on November 15th. This Way Out's Steve Pride was there.
I'm here today to convey my support of equality, respect, of dignity for all people. That in no situation should any group of people be denied the human rights that any other group has.
Tell me why you're here.
To support gay marriage and reappeal Proposition 8.
How old are you and what grade are you in?
I'm 13 and I'm in 8th grade.
Why is this important to you?
Well, because it's like we're all humans and we shouldn't be treated differently and we should all marry. And I think that it's kind of stupid that people want to put their rules into other people's lives.
We're here because we're married and we want to stay married and we want to give other people the same opportunity to get married just as we did.
Hello there. We're from the Los Angeles House of the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence. I'm Sister Wendy Pigsfly. And we're here for the pancake breakfast. Wait, no, the Twilight signing. No, wait. Actually, we're here to say thank you. Deeply felt thank you to every one of the people that showed up today. Because as you see, it's not just any community. It's all of us. And all the people that are here deserve a big, huge thank you. That's why we're here today. I think a lot of people really believed in their heart of hearts, no one could actually vote that way. Not if you know someone. Not if you love someone. But look what's happening now. Stonewall 2.0.
I'm here to stand up for civil rights for everybody. It's quite important that all of us stand up for the other group that's not us. As a child, when one walked into the Simon Wiesenthal Center, said when we came for the gypsies, I was not a gypsy, so I didn't do anything. When they came for the gays, I was not a gay, so I didn't do anything. Then they took me too. And unless we stand up for the other group, they will take you as well. And it's so important in this day and age that you stand up for people that aren't just people that look like you and act like you and are of the same religion.
My name's Ed Mitchell. I'm a school teacher, and this is my friend Marisa O'Donohue. She's also a school teacher, and we're out here, and we're in support of same-sex marriage.
And why is this important to you?
Well, it's equal rights. It's, you know, we're tracing upon fundamental constitutional rights, and it's about equality. Sorry, last time I checked, gay people pay taxes too, and just listening to all the hate behind us, the yes on Prop 8, it's outrageous. Just the ignorance and the intolerance. And it's all about a religious issue, and it's not supposed to be about that.
I'm gay, and she's straight, but you're going to be my spokesperson now, man. You're awesome.
Okay. Yeah. I love my friend, and I just can't believe that he is not going to be treated the same as I am going to be treated. I just don't understand that.
Tell me who you are and why you're here.
I'm Ron Goldhammer, and I'm here to protect my family. I have three children and a husband. Been together 12 years, and we just want what everybody else wants. You know, a happy life and be productive and take care of our children.
My name is Karen, and I live locally, and I'm here to support the gay community.
Her husband's with her.
And then why are you here?
Because it's unconstitutional. When the majority take rights away from a minority is unconstitutional.
My name's Lisa, and I'm here to help support gay rights. I'm a straight woman in my 40s, but I don't think it's fair that some people have rights and others don't. Banning marriage isn't going to stop gays from being together, so you'd think that religious people would want people to be married and say, hey, we're making a commitment, we love each other, and we're not going to part.
Deal with it, homosexuals. Not only has California and Arizona and Florida, that has spoken volumes. So much for democracy. You despise democracy. In fact, sodomites, this is not democracy. We live in a republic as bound in the Pledge of Allegiance. You don't know what the word republic is. You despise democracy.
Religious intolerance! You're a Christian, you say, I will not allow your vote to count!
You had your equal rights at the ballot box, and you lost!
That's wrong!
You had your time for equality, and you lost! Take it like a man, homosexual!
It's about separation of state and church. It is about human dignity. It is about the value we place on the lives and the quality of life of gays, lesbians, transgenders, bisexuals. You are our community. We must stand with you. From Selma to Stonewall, this is the fight today. Yes, we can.
More actions to build on the nationwide November 15th demonstrations are in the works. For all the details, log on to jointheimpact.com. Thanks for choosing This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine. This week, John Torres, Michael LeBeau, Rex Walkner with Bill Kelly, Sherry Lunn, Heather Kitching, and Steve Pride contributed program material. Boy George sang Yes We Can, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out is made possible by donations from our listeners. Thank you. Log on to thiswayout.org to see how you can support our work, hear our podcasts, or subscribe to postal mail CDs or cassettes of our programs. To receive our weekly program email alerts, email tworadio@aol.com. You can also write to us at P.O. Box 38327, Los Angeles, California, 90038, USA. For associate producer Lucia Chappell and the entire This Way Out family, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening on KEUL, Girdwood and Hope, Alaska, Grateful Dread Radio, Baltimore, Maryland, CHSR, Fredericton, New Brunswick, and more than 175 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Stay tuned.
This Way Out is heard every week as part of Queer Voices. You are listening to 90.1 FM KPFT. Thomas from his album Faith Unashamed, and the title of that song, What Am I Gonna Do Without You?
KPFT has just completed our final on-air membership drive for 2008. Despite Hurricane Ike, economic hardships, and national uncertainty. KPFT listeners came through for the station that means so much to you. KPFT makes a difference to you, and you made a difference to KPFT. If you were one of the many listeners who renewed or joined this drive, thank you very much. Before you know it, your membership envelope will arrive in the mail. Don't forget to pay your pledge. The great feeling you get when you support KPFT feels even better once you drop that check in the mail. And if you missed your chance to join and support the news, music, and other great programming you hear each day, there's still time. Join online at kpft.org and do your part, or call 713-526-4000, extension 314, to become a member today. KPFT, Houston.
This is Queer Voices.
Well, today is November 24th, and Absolutely. 2 days from now is the opening of Harvey Milk at the River Oaks, and I believe possibly a few other theaters around Houston.
Yes, it is.
There's actually a screening tomorrow night at the AMC 30, and I'm not exactly sure how you get passes. I think it's the one.
It's not the one over on Dunvale.
Yes, yes.
Oh, really? That's around the corner from my house.
Yes, that's a screening, but you have to have passes to get into it. But it opens up on Wednesday, And it's a fabulous film. We talked about it last week. We actually had Ray Hill here and Ed Barnes, who both knew Harvey and actually met Harvey. Ed Barnes lived a block away from Harvey's store in San Francisco and said many times he traveled on the bus to work with Harvey on the bus.
Mm-hmm.
And Harvey Milk, if you're not familiar with, was murdered almost 30 years ago. It'll be 30 years ago this Thursday. He was the first openly gay person elected to a public office. He was on the Board of Supervisors, which is their city council in San Francisco, and he was elected he was in office almost a year, and then he was murdered by Dan White, a fellow Board of Supervisors person who resigned shortly before he did that. It's an incredible story, but what's really interesting about that story is the parallels of today. During the time of the summer 30 years ago, Harvey Milk worked on Proposition 6, which was a proposition that if it was passed, they would fire anybody who spoke positively about gay people or was perceived to be gay in the public school system of California. And he won that. He won that. We won it. We won that, and it didn't seem like we were going to win it. But there were so many parallels of what happened to Proposition 6 back then and Proposition 8, which we lost this time, which was the marriage amendment in California. It's an absolutely incredible film, and I've listened to a couple of interviews. One was with Gus Van Sant, who was on Fresh Air last week, and James Franco, who was on Fresh Air today, who plays Harvey's lover in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And what's really interesting about the film, it opens up with scenes of people being pulled out of bars, people in suits being pulled out of bars and put it in paddy wagons and being sent downtown.
Sounds like Houston many years ago.
It's happened all over the country, including places like San Francisco and New York, which you thought were so much further ahead in time, but it wasn't. It's a really, really interesting movie, and it really has a lot to do about the parallels of people getting into power and trying to work for the people. Just as Obama was elected recently, there's a lot about somebody who was a street activist person getting elected.
Yes.
And trying to do good and passing a civil rights ordinance for gay people, and I'm sure now it's been extended to GLBT people. So I really recommend this film highly. I saw it twice, actually, a couple weeks ago, and everything was just done so well. They really try to portray it as exact. In fact, they used the same storefront, if I understand it right, 541 Castro Street, for the camera shop that Harvey...
Right. Yes. Yeah, I heard that.
Absolutely. We're just about ready to go to Queer Music Heritage. It sounds real interesting. It's another one of the great shows that JD has put together.
At 90.1 FM, this is KPFT Houston.
Now, more of Queer Voices with Jack Belinsky and the entire Queer Voices crew.
We're beginning to love ourselves. It's the beacon shining from within our hearts, a celebration. I listen to the songs we are singing. I hear the words we speak. I feel the love we keep bringing, and the power of the joy makes me strong. We are a lesbian nation, a lesbian nation. Oh, let's be a nation, a lesbian nation. When the king light is shining and the moon is glowing gold, I see by the light in our eyes, we now remember what we've been told. By the journeys we take together and the potions we do alone, we are healing our own oppression, and our magic is taking us home to a lesbian nation. Lesbian nation, oh, let's be a nation, lesbian nation. We are witches by the millions, some known and some not yet introduced. We are women by the millions, in every place a woman might choose or not. We are hurting and we are healing, growing stronger every day. We are longing and we are loving, creating a lesbian nation, lesbian nation. Oh, let's be a 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 nation, lesbian nation.
I'm J.D. Doyle, and this is Queer Voices on KPFT, and this segment is called Queer Music Heritage. So how could I resist a song called Lesbian Nation? It's by a singer-activist out of the Portland, Oregon area who called herself Sunny McHale Skydancer, and that was the title track from, as far as I know, her only release, a cassette tape from 1991. And I thought that was the perfect way to start out what is going to be a very unusual show. Wait till you hear the title, Lesbians on Cassette. And the criteria was an artist's recording could only have been released on cassette tape, not on vinyl or CD or reissued on CD. So this puts us mostly in the 1980s and 90s, with releases almost exclusively by independent artists. These are the ones who generally sold their tapes at live performances, in coffee houses, or at the few women's bookstores, because that was really the only means they had of getting their music out there. They had no label backing, so tapes were also cheaper to produce, and some were even homemade or made as demos. I've culled through the approximately 400 women's music tapes in my collection and did lots of research, trying to determine if the recording also came out in another format. Like, for example, I have a wonderful tape from 1988 by the fabulous Dyketones, but they've now reissued it on CD, so that one's out. And this is not a perfect science. My research materials and the internet only go so far, but I think I was fairly accurate in keeping what you'll hear to my guidelines. Also, like on most of my shows, you'll notice that I'm attracted to songs where the lyrics are blatantly gay or lesbian. One way I explain this is that I think I was about 30 before I ever heard a song that really spoke to me as a gay person. A song where the pronouns were correct for me and the subject matter actually addressed my gay life. So in my own way, I'm getting this music out there. Music that back then never had a chance of being played on the radio. By the way, the music you've been hearing under this introduction, of course, comes from a cassette. From 1990 by Adrienne Torf. She's played on the recordings of Holly Near, Mae Christian, Margie Adam, and Farron, and is acclaimed for her own solo work. The song I picked was Lullaby from her tape, Find a Way. Let's hear just a few more seconds of it without my talking over it. Next up is a song by a New York area artist named Melinda DeMaio, and her only release was from 1994 and was named Dyke Dramas. It's an excellent recording, and from it you'll hear Les V. Friends.
High school wasn't easy for me. I was the only dyke in my sorority. Didn't have a need for manly company, cause I had softball and field hockey. Lester was the boy next door and he liked me, but I wanted his sister Lenore. She was tall and sweet, a gal you could adore. She was a tomboy and a bit of a whore. And I said, Leslie friends, let's be lovers, let's get to know each other under the covers. I said, Lenore, I think I'd like to take you to the senior prom. I will buy you a corsage and you can wear it on your arm. And she said, honey child, you're crazy, but I have something else in mind. And she kissed me on the lips, she grabbed my behind and she said, let's be friends, let's be lovers, let's get to know each other under the covers. Well, last Tuesday I went down to the mall and I ran into Lenore and her second husband, Paul. She said, I often thank you and smile when I recall all those kisses we shared in the locker room stall. I said, Lenore, I'd like to say that the same were true of me, but I haven't given you a thought since we parted company. See, I found a bunch of women who were big dykes just like me. When I see one that I like, I just look her in the eye and I say, let's be friends, let's be lovers, let's get to know each other under the covers.
Everybody say,
let's be friends.
My life feels without her. Tells me what it is, at least in part. Oh, there's just something about her. Though she is not like some movie queen, well, she's a down-to-earth, working-class Madonna. In her worn-out running shoes and faded jeans. And it's not the way she looks, but the way she looks at me. And in a way, what do you say to a woman who says it's meant to be? And our dreams, well, you can all but see them just over. Sunday morning, how a harbor light cuts through life's darkest day. And her words tonight, tomorrow's poetry. And her hands are kind of passageway for me. And our dreams, well, you can all but see just over. Thank you.
followed Melinda DeMayo with kind of a country song by Jane Howard. Something About Her was from her 1989 release, Passage. I'm going next to a song that was so popular that not only did it appear on this artist's cassette, but she also released a cassette single of it, which was very unusual for an independent artist to do. Her name is Leah Zachary, and her debut release in 1990 was called Wouldn't It Be Fun? And it contained lots of very lesbian songs, one of which became for a while sort of a gay anthem, being used at gay and lesbian pride events all over. The song was called Glory Glory, and during an interview with Leah in 2001, I asked her to tell me about it. I'll share part of her comments with you.
Glory Glory was written, I think it was 1989, 1990. And the place of inspiration, and this is where I get much of my inspiration, believe it or not, was in the shower. And I was in the shower, and it was just like a lightning bolt that struck me. I don't know why I had the Battle Hymn of the Republic going through my head in the first place, but I did, and I just started singing the words from a radical queer point of view. And I just started singing, glory, glory, I'm a lesbian, glory, glory, I'm a gay man. And from there, I knew I had something at that moment. So I rushed out of the shower. I'm not even sure I finished my shower, and got to the paper and the pen and began writing. This is, too, an important historical point of information, especially for the younger listeners. You have to remember the time frame. If it was the late 80s or just getting into the 90s, we had just gone through, 8 years of Ronald Reagan, and we're into the Bush administration, so we're well on our way of 12 years of Republican leadership in the White House. And we had also just come from, we were at the peak, I think, of the AIDS crisis. We were still learning things about that, but there was still a lot of backlash. There was still a lot of discrimination. You know, in the decade of the 90s, we really got to see an improvement in how gay people are perceived and how gay people are treated and how we are presented. And certainly, nothing's perfect, but there was a big difference between the 90s and the 80s. And so when I wrote that song, that was the point of view that I was coming from and that the gay community was coming from. We were still fighting for basic decency and basic right issues of rights. There were no out television shows and television stars and television characters or any of that. That kind of stuff was just beginning. So that's the perspective that song comes from.
Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming out of queers. Homophobes have trampled on our rights, they've done so out of fear. We have loosed our rising anger, and now it's plainly clear that gays are marching on. Glory, glory, I'm a lesbian. Glory, glory, I'm a gay man. Glory, glory, I'm a homosexual. I am truth marching on. In our homes and on street corners, we have been condemned to die. We were murdered in the Holocaust by Hitler and his lies. AIDS is killing all our people whom the government denies. But gays keep marching on. Glory, glory, I'm a lesbian. Glory, glory, I'm a gay man. Glory, glory, I'm a homosexual. I am truth marching on. In the beauty of our loving, we have let ourselves be free. We will heal our wounds with justice for all humanity. We will not deny our freedom or our sexuality. We will keep marching on. Glory, glory, I'm a lesbian. Glory, glory, I'm a gay man.
Glory, glory, I'm a homosexual. I am truth marching on. Glory, glory, I'm a lesbian. Glory, glory, I'm a gay man. Glory, glory, I'm a homosexual.
I don't live in Berkeley or on the Lenten Street. I don't look for the merchants. Sandals on my feet. I'm not a vegetarian. Give me some steak to eat.
What kind of self-respecting lesbian?
After Glory Glory was another song by Leah Zakari, sort of a cover version. She took the very popular song by gay icons Romanowski and Phillips, What Kind of Self-Respecting Faggot Am I?, and lesbianized it into Self-Respecting Lezzy. I mentioned that Glory Glory was one of those rare lesbian cassette singles. Well, I have another one, which received nationwide airplay for its anti-censorship message. It was all about one of the leading anti-gay figures in this country's history, and many people were delighted last July when he finally died. Here's Laura Wetzler and her song, Jesse Helms Has Made a Radical Out of Me.
Jesse Helms has made a radical out of me. He makes me want to take off my clothes, shout from the highest tree. Make a march on Wall Street. Sunday school, I tailored in a bag. Now I'm obsessed with photographing every kind of sexual prank. Jesse Helms has made a radical out of me. He
where you're dancing with one woman looking at another, and someone over there just bought you that drink, honey. And isn't that the woman that joined our peer support group last week? She's cute. Hey, it's been a while since you've been here, and you just had a very painful breakup with your lover, but word's already out on the statewide grapevine. You're back in circulation. I'm sitting here guzzling beer and watching all them beautiful queers move it across the dance floor. My, oh, my. Well, don't you worry about me, I'm feeling fine. Sipping my 27th glass of wine. Just sitting here happy rocking to the gay bar blues. Well, I remember my very first time in here, and I was awfully young and just terrified that some woman would walk up to me and try and lay me right here on the barroom floor. Now some woman winks, buys me a drink, and then we talk and dance until they close it up. And then, you know, sometimes we might go to her place, or sometimes we go to mine. Well, dancing with one woman looking at another, and someone over there just brought you that drink, honey. And isn't that your ex that just came in? Quick, hide in the john. Well, it's been a while since you've been here. I heard you and your lover had a big fight last night. One more round of monogamy versus non-monogamy. Well, the orange juice folks aren't real fond of us, and old brother Jerry's out there preaching to save America's children from all them drag queens teaching in the public schools. But the liquor industry thinks we're great. We've even got civil rights, and some states will look out for a majority. We'll be in the White House someday, and we may already be there. We're just sitting here guzzling beer and watching all of them beautiful queers and move it across the dance floor, mile, mile. Well, don't you worry about me, I'm feeling fine. Sipping my 27th glass of wine. Just sitting here happy rocking to the gay bar blues. Well, the bars aren't much, but it's someplace to go, and there's pinball and pool and all kinds of fun. But you know, a lot of women sit there alone, thinking there's nowhere else to go. Yeah, we get caught up in drugs and alcoholism and other forms of mental and physical attrition, and it's time to put an end to what society deals us and what we deal to ourselves. Well, now just try to imagine taking to the streets with our lovers and friends, coming face to face with all those righteous folk who try and keep us from living normal lives just like theirs. Sitting in the movies, cuddling up, or just holding hands in a restaurant, strolling through the park, passing other couples, unafraid to let our feelings show. We're just sitting here, guzzling beer and watching all them beautiful queers move it across the dance floor, my, oh, my. Well, don't you worry about me, because I'm feeling fine. Sipping my 27th glass of wine. Just sitting here happy rocking to the gay bar blues. Or what would happen if just for a day the gays went straight, the straights were gay, and they found out for themselves what it's like living the gay life? Well, chances are they'd find out real quick. Our lives aren't exactly one big picnic, and making love is just one side of the coin. Because we've got jobs and families we love, and all we're asking is just a chance to be upfront with who we are. Yeah, to be free to go and live where we want with whoever. And have the right to live our lives just like anybody else. Till then, you're dancing with one woman looking at another, and someone over there just bought you that drink, honey. And isn't that our high school gym teacher? I knew it! Well, I know you're in there every night, dancing and drinking and throwing your money away. Well, maybe someday you'll find out, like I have, there's a whole lot more out there to live in life. Till then, you're sitting here, guzzling beer and watching all them beautiful queers and moving across the dance floor, my, oh, my. Well, don't you worry about me, I'm flying high, sipping my 27th glass of wine, just sitting here happy rocking to the gay bar blues. You know we're laughing and joking, rocking to the gay bar blues. Oh my, they're toking and a stroking, rocking to the gay bar blues.
That was DJ Adler from her 1982 cassette, Here and Now, and it had both political and cultural commentary, all about those talking gay bar blues. DJ is still making music, and I know from her site that only 500 copies of her tape were made, so I'm pleased to have one of them. The small quantity of tapes produced was very typical and makes it very hard for collectors, especially since most dealers, like on eBay, just don't want to bother with tapes. So on this show, you're hearing some rare material. Like on this next cassette, Jamie Anderson tells me she produced only 200 copies of it. Over the years of playing her wonderful music on my shows, she's become a friend, a nice fringe benefit of what I do. I know she's cringing a little that I'm playing a track from her 1986 debut tape, Heart Resort, as this was so early in her career that she looks back, just like I do for my early shows, and thinks, gee, I sure didn't know what I was doing. But I think the song Lizzie Boogie has lots of charm, and she's told me it was a real crowd pleaser back in the late 80s. Jamie Anderson and Lizzie Boogie.
When I was unenlightened in the bad old days, before I learned the truth about feminine ways. Fever, 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 fever
Fever, Kleber, Fever. That was from 1990 by the very talented group Venus Envy, and their six-song cassette was called Unarmed and Dangerous. This is the group that in 1995 gave us the classic album I'll Be a Homo for Christmas. Two of their members, Lisa Koch and Laura Love, have gone on to long music careers. And this is a good time to invite you to check out my website. If you visit it while you're listening, you can see the playlist and follow along while looking at photos of the artists and recordings. I've always considered our music history as a visual as well as an audio experience. And you'll find a much longer version of this show on my site. Again, that's at www.queermusicheritage.com. Also, for more very queer programming, please listen to After Hours with Jimmy Carper every Saturday night, Sunday morning from 1 to 4 a.m. on KPFT. It's queer radio with attitude. We're going back to Madison, Wisconsin in 1994 for the next act and a band called the Cowgirl Sweethearts and their cassette tape called the Cowgirl Collection. The opening song of the recording even had a music video, a very humorous one called You've All Got Me All Wrong. Live tracks coming up. Paula Wolowitz is an honored writer and activist in Chicago, and she's also been an occasional musician. Her song Surprise appeared on the landmark album Gay and Straight Together in 1981, one of the first various artists' openly gay albums released on a major label, in this case, Folkways. But I'm taking a version of her song Surprise from a later release from 1990, and here's the history behind it. Mountain Moving Coffee House was by 1990 the oldest continuously operating women-only space in the world. That year, the church from which the collective had been renting space, then under new management, suddenly decided that they didn't want lesbians in their building anymore. So they had to move, and they found a much better space. But they had a farewell concert at the old location on School Street, and appropriately called the show Last Night on School Street. Joining Paula Wolowitz again, as she did for the original recording, was my friend Tony Armstrong Jr., one of our culture's most accomplished activists, writers, and historians, and founder of my favorite women's music magazine, Hotwire. Here they are, reprising the gem, Surprise, and it'll be followed by another rare live recording.
Are you married? Well, no. Then you're single. Suppose so. At least that's what it's called, I understand. Oh, I'll bet, wink, wink, that you're living with your boyfriend. Well, I've got an open mind. Well, no. In fact, my roommate is a very good woman friend of mine. Surprise, I'm a lesbian, and goodness, here I am again, dodging all the questions while staying on my toes. Surprise, I'm a lesbian, explaining why there is no man in my life. I'm a loner, I suppose. When actually I've been living my life with the person of my dreams, and though I should keep it under my hat, there are times when I want to scream. Surprise, I'm a lesbian, and goodness, here I am again, dodging all the questions while staying on my toes. Surprise, I'm a lesbian, explaining why there is no man in my life. I'm a loner, I suppose. I'm looking forward to the day I can say, surprise, I'm gay, and the people at work will smile and say, that's nice. Where are we going to lunch today? Surprise, I'm a lesbian, being only as I am, being as I've chosen to be. A woman, loving woman, standing up against the lies and sharing her delightful surprise. Oh, I'm looking forward to the day I can say, surprise, I'm gay, and the people at work will smile and say, that's great! Let's go out and celebrate! Surprise, I'm a lesbian, being only as I am, being as I've chosen to be. A woman, loving woman, standing up against the lies and sharing her delightful surprise.
I'm late again, 'cause you made me smile. I'm late again, all my clothes are in a pile. So here I am, still in this bed with you. It's half past ten, I should have been to work by nine. It's half past ten, I got fooled again by time. Don't even think to set that old alarm when I'm lying here wrapped up in your arms. Natural rhythm flow is all right. You got it. tried to weigh my fear because of what I feel inside. She said love will win, make this world go round. And you know I'm no fool to throw away all I found. She said love only make this world go round. And you know I'm no fool to throw away all I found.
That was Cassie Culver from a tape called Cassie Culver Live in Concert, and it says on the tape, recorded at the Women's Building, Los Angeles, August 23, 1974. This was very early for her. Her historic album, Three Gypsies, was not released for another 2 years. They both contained her very popular song, I'm Late Again. And here's another live track I can't resist, and I'm bending the rules just a little on including it, because it's another example of when a live version preceded the release of the song on vinyl. On one of Holly Near's early albums, 1978's Imagine My Surprise, was the song Lady at the Piano, backed up by Meg Christian. I've got a version from 2 years earlier, from 1976, recorded at the National Women's Music Festival, their third event, and I think the song's playful introduction is very interesting. Oh, tapes from the early festivals were sold for fundraising for future events, so no, they were not really commercial tapes, but at least in a limited way, they were available up through the end of the 1970s. Just try to find copies. Anyway, Holly Near and Meg Christian sang together at the festival. This was around the time they were having an affair. Hey, it's all in her book. Here's Holly and Meg and Lady at the Piano.
You'd laugh. We discussed what we would do if you took us completely seriously.
I go into raindrops keep falling on my ears.
Why don't we indulge you in a little theater here? If you would try to imagine yourselves in a very small, smoky, dark nightclub. Near those half-moon bars that they have inside of nightclubs where there's a piano sort of inserted in the middle. People sit around and order gin and tonics and make requests. And there's usually a woman sitting there at the piano in a long black gown and her hair in a beehive. And a smile painted on her face because she's so bored. If anybody requests the Burt Bacharach tune one more time that night, you know, she just... And there's a little cocktail glass sitting on the piano with the starting dollar in it, you know, wishful thinking for tips. And, I guess you sort of get the picture. No? Okay. There's a club down on the avenue where the hustlers come to jest. And a lady at the piano who can play all their requests. But she grows weary of the standards, so she sings her own refrain. Until Joe, the noisy bartender, starts in to complain. The lady, it seems, you write a pretty melody. But your words are too full of pain. People come to be entertained. They don't want to see you act as they are. So be a star. Be sparkle. Be glitter. Be taller. Be thinner. Be sure. One night the club was empty. The World Series kept them home. So the lady at the piano was playing all alone. A group came in round midnight, and they stayed the whole night long. For the first time, someone listened to their very special song. Woman, it seems, you write a song as if just just for me. You spill my life on the floor, but then you shine a light on the door. Don't let them make you weaken and bend. Come sing again, be honest, be giving. Remember we're singing with you. And the lady said I do. I can't seem to see why now and then I'll go out to see a movie when the hero is never me. So I write all this angry poetry. They keep requesting those love songs. They're called good old fashioned love songs. He and she and a baby makes three. I swear they're making crazy people out of me. Yeah, that club is making crazy people out of me. Well, the lady is still at the piano, but the clientele has changed. You don't see the noisy hustlers coming after games. The bartender's name is Sophie, and the bouncer's name is Jane. And the lady at the piano, will never be the same.
I'm down to the last song, and I want to thank you all for listening and taking this journey into the world of Lesbians on Cassette. Longtime listeners know that when I'm compiling these shows, I have no willpower, and I just can't resist really trying to do the subject justice. That generally results in a much longer version of the show on my website, and that's the case this time as well. You can hear more parts to this story by many more artists, and a few songs that had, let's say, language issues that would not allow me to play them on broadcast radio. I've put together over 3.5 hours for the internet version, so you can find that at www.queermusicheritage.com. And as always, if you have questions or comments about any of the music I've featured, please write me at qmheritage@aol.com. This is J.D. Doyle for Queer Voices on KPFT in Houston. Closing the show is a group I featured before called Destiny. Its members were Mary Jo Perenzino, Mary Apt, and Diana Bidding. In 1992, they released a tape called We Are Destiny. They were, at the time of their cassette release, out of Philadelphia, and they later moved to Provincetown, where they formed a group called The Three Marys, with John Arterton of The Flirtations. A song I love by Destiny is one I did not have a chance to use when I featured them before, and I think it's wonderful. It features the powerful voice of Mary Jo Perenzino, and it celebrates a part of lesbian culture in a way I know of in no other song. It's called Softball on Belmont Plateau. Here's Destiny.
Softball with the women. I'm a pitcher and I get to see women swing and twist toward me. Bend my way every other day. Hit the ball, see them run and play. Oh, softball. I love softball. It makes me feel so good watching women at play. Really makes my day.
Listening to Queer Voices, heard each Monday at 8 p.m. here on KPFT, a publicly funded Pacifica Network station. Queer Voices is produced live in Houston with recorded segments from This Way Out, which is produced at KPFK in Los Angeles. Queer Voices executive producer is Jack Walensky. On-air voices are Glenn Holt, J.D. Doyle, Deborah Bell, Jennifer Renee, Greg Chapman, and Jack Walensky. Be sure to listen every Saturday night, Sunday morning at 1 a.m. for After Hours with Jimmy Carper. It's Queer Radio with Attitude. This is listener-sponsored and commercial-free Pacifica Radio, KPFT, at 90.1 FM, 89.5 FM Galveston, and worldwide via streaming audio from kpft.org. For Queer Voices, I'm Glenn Holt.
If you've heard a KPFT pledge drive before, you've probably heard this line 1,000 times.
Our volunteers are here to take your call.
But volunteering at KPFT is more than pledge drives. It's the folks who help pack your thank you gifts.
Or the people who spend a Saturday painting walls or helping at a booth or even distributing KPFT flyers around town.
You may hear a lot about volunteers during our pledge drives, but helping out at KPFT is an around-the-clock endeavor.
Why wait for a pledge drive when you can volunteer today?
Call 713-526-4000 to learn more about volunteering at KPFT or visit kpft.org to download a volunteer application to indicate your interest.
Talk with one of our great staffers to find out how you can help.
Again, that's 713-526-4000 to learn more about volunteering at KPFT.
Or visit kpft.org to download a volunteer application to indicate your interest.
This is commercial-free, listener-sponsored, Pacifica Radio.
KPFT Houston.
KPFT has just completed our final on-air membership drive for 2008. Despite Hurricane Ike, economic hardships, and national uncertainty, KPFT listeners came through for the station that means so much to you. KPFT makes a difference to you, and you made a difference to KPFT. If you were one of the many listeners who renewed or joined this drive, thank you very much. Before you know it, your membership envelope will arrive in the mail. Don't forget to pay your pledge. The great feeling you get when you support KPFT feels even better once you drop that check in the mail. And if you missed your chance to join and support...
The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.